So in today's cloud computing, performance management is important for both cloud user and the cloud provider. When the cloud user deploy their applications, such as web server, mail server, into the cloud infrastructure, the cloud service provider must manage and ensure that all hosted applications meet the contracted SLA. If the hosted application experience any SLA violation, then the cloud service provider must take actions to bring the system back to normal. These actions usually include localizing the faulty application or system component, finding the root cause, and take some action to bring the system back to normal. So in this work, we're focusing on the first two actions, localizing the faulty applications and all the system components and finding the root cause. There has been a lot of existing work on faulty detection and diagnosis in networking and the distributed system. They can be classified into several categories based upon the strategy they use. Some of them require strong domain knowledge for specific applications or platforms and associated performance best practice. However, this approach could be both labor-intensive and non-scalable. Some previous work also using dependency model to find the failure part of a networked system. However, this approach require heavy instrumentations and packet tracing in the system. Another direction is to using machine learning technology to build the model of the causal relationship in a distributed system. However, an inappropriate modeling statistic could have a high computing complexity and not suitable for online analysis. So other analytical performance models, they choose the model input by some human experts. Therefore, it's hard to avoid the redundancy and to be scalable in a large virtualized environment. And a common weakness of all these existing methods is that they all designed in the absence of virtualization. So here we list some characteristics of a virtualized infrastructure, which we consider as important to design a performance diagnosis tool. So first, due to server consolidation, performance loss can be caused by VMs in the same host, which is not existent for a dedicated server. Second, the fine-grade system-level performance counter are available to use on most virtualization platform, so it requires no customized instrumentation. Third, VM can migrate from one host to another, which complicates the diagnosis process. Finally, the strong dependency between VM and their hosts may lead to strong correlated metrics, and this strong correlation could lead to negative modeling accuracy and wasting computing time. So with this characteristic in mind, in this work, we propose a tool called DAPA, a diagnosis and a performance analysis tool. DAPA follows the process of a typical model-based fault diagnosis framework. So they are monitoring, modeling, and diagnosis. So however, the challenge in modeling the system behavior in the virtualized system require careful and robust design at each step. So as we mentioned earlier, due to the number of VM and host growth and the strong dependency between VM and host, one difficulty is to determine the proper set of metrics to build the model. Many regression-based methods fail to eliminate some highly correlated metrics and therefore create a lot of undesirable noise. DAPA integrates innovative application of a statistic algorithm called least angle regression. This is the first adoption of least angle regression for performance diagnosis in virtualized system. Moreover, we designed two additional steps in order to improve the modeling accuracy. First, in the modeling phase, we make use of least angle regression to pre-processing the system metrics that is critical to the application performance. Second, in the diagnosis phase, we cluster the models with close similarity and reconcile the data to identify the most suspicious attributes to the SLA violation. So here I give an example about how we could deploy DAPA in a virtualized cloud infrastructure. So the cloud user, who is also the application owner, will deploy the application in the VM provided by the service provider. And they will set up some contracted SLA agreement. Then the DAPA component will both monitor the application performance and periodically collect system metrics. So once there appears some SLA violation, it will trigger the DAPA analysis engine doing modeling and diagnosis. Then the output produced from the analysis engine will be presented to the system administrator. And then the system administrator can take some action to bring the system back to normal. Next, I will introduce three steps in detail. So the first step in DAPA is the online monitoring. The monitoring component will continuously collect the application performance, such as the response time and the system metrics like CPU utilization at a fine time granularity, for example, every 5 seconds. Since application performance is used to determine the SLA, the monitoring part is responsible for determining the system status of SLA compliance or violation. If the monitoring tool reports an SLA violation, then DAPA needs to analyze and diagnose the performance loss. So here, instead of directly using SLA violation as the trigger of the analysis phase, we choose to raise an alarm earlier than when the true SLA violation occurs, which we call it a potential SLA violation. So a potential SLA violation has three properties. It has a more stringent conditions than the true SLA violation. Second, it always occurs prior to a true SLA violation. Third, we use it to trigger the modeling phase. So for example, if the SLA violation is defined as more than 10% of the response time for certain transactions within 1 minute or greater than 1 second, then the potential SLA violation would be at least 5% or greater than 1 second. So the benefit of using this potential SLA violation is that it could capture the characteristic of the system closest to normal operation and use them to compare with the later anomaly states. So after a potential SLA violation is detected, we then start the DAPA's modeling phase. The modeling phase includes three steps. They are model pre-construction, pre-selection, and model series construction. So before I introduce our approach, we first talk about why it's important to choose an appropriate modeling method. A typical model-based approach takes the system metrics as input, which may include all the available metrics of the whole system or those picked by domain experts. However, as I mentioned earlier, the introduction of virtualization layer will complicate the problem by increasing the number of input metric and the redundancy between the metric in VM and host and the model sensitive to data variations. So this issue will affect not only the model accuracy, but the computation time. So to address these issues, we need a technique that can allow DAPA to effectively select a subset of the input metric and modeling the correlation between application performance and the system states. So in this work, we use least angle regression, also known as LARS. LARS was invented by Professor Afron at Stanford. So LARS was originally proposed as a variable selection application. It has some nice features such as interpretable model, accurate prediction and has several faster algorithm implementations. So in large, given the input of a set of predictor variables and a response variable, the goal is to find a set of coefficient vectors that minimize the residual sum of square, which is RSS, and subject to a constraint on the absolute value of the regression coefficients. So this is equivalent to minimizing the sum of square and the plus L1 penalty on the regression coefficients. So this is an example showing the difference between Lars and Rage regression. So the left figure shows the regression of Lars and the right is for the Rage regression. So as we can see, to the right of both figures, the two procedures give the very similar results. However, what happened different is from the left of each figure. So for the Rage regression, the coefficients immediately become non-zero, but for Lars, coefficients become non-zero one at a time. So this, the earlier the coefficients, the coefficients of a metric become non-zero, the more important the variable is in the model. So therefore, we can see that the L1 penalty actually results in variable selection. As a variable with the coefficient of zero are effectively excluded from the model. So in DAPA, we're using the system metrics collected from each VM and the host as the predictor variables, such as CPU utilization, disk I/O, and the observed application performance as the response variable Y. So during the last regression, at each step, one metric is included into the model. That means its coefficient become non-zero. We need to determine an appropriate stop condition at the k step of Lars regression, meaning only a subset of the variable having non-zero coefficients. Moreover, as we mentioned earlier, we should eliminate the highly correlated metrics in the model, because later we were using the metrics with non-zero coefficients at the k-step to model the system relationship. When an anomaly occurs, we call this step as a metric preselection. We do metric preselection when a potential SLA violation is detected and using the data before that time. So here we're using another feature Lars provides to evaluate the cost of including a metric into the model at each step. So CPI defines the cost. So ideally, CPI should decrease as a new metric is added to the model. However, if the newly added metric doesn't improve the model accuracy or stability, the cost of CPI will increase. The main reason is that when two highly correlated metrics can cause some unstable model and make it sensitive to data variation. Therefore, one of the metrics should be eliminated. Based upon this information, we developed the metric pre-selection algorithm sketched out here. The key idea is that if CPI increase for a metric at a certain step, we check its correlation with those already in the model and don't include the metric if the correlation between them exceeds some threshold at this step. So, and the process will stop when the number of CPI increment exceeds some threshold. So as a result, the output metric are those impact most on the application performance, and the model accuracy and the stability are improved by excluding those highly correlated metric as well. So next, using the pre-selected metric, DAPA continue to construct a series of models in non-overlapping time window prior to potential SLA violation. And the model constructive phase continue as time goes. And if a true SLA violation is detected, DAPA will will continue to build a large model for at least 1 hour or until SLA violation stops. So then the series of model will be fed into the diagnosis phase. The diagnosis phase will perform model clustering and model reconciliation, and the final output will be a list of metric in the order related to the SLA violation. So model clustering is to classify the models into two clusters, which is the SLA violation and the SLA compliance. And then here we're using a k-mean clustering algorithm and k equals to 2. After that, we will aggregate the data samples of the SLA violation cluster and build a new last model. And finally, the metrics are ordered by their impact to the SLA violation. So now I'll describe our experiment setup for deploying DAPA in a virtualized environment. So to create the SLA violation, we inject several synthetic faults into certain VM or hosts. We then show that the results of the metric pre-selection step. Finally, we demonstrate that DAPA could find the corresponding resource bottleneck related to SLA violation caused by each injected faults. So the virtualized infrastructure is built on the Xen hypervisor and all guests install Fedora 13. And the application we use is a social networking web application called Olio. It is a typical three-tier web application and consists of a front web tier, an application tier, and a database tier. And each tier can have more than one instance which is installed in a VM. So as for the workload generator, we use a realistic workload trace of a popular website, World Cup 98, to drive the workload to the application. So the monitoring component of DAPA will continuously collect application performance and critical system metrics, both in VM and host level. The application performance metric is reflected by the response time of tag search transaction. And if the SLA violation and the SLA violation is defined as more than 10% of the transaction within 1 minute or greater than 1 second. And the critical system metrics, including CPU, memory, disk, and some operating system specific context, such as context switch and interrupt. And we use the tool of standard Linux tool like vmstat, dstat to get data from the guest and the vertop to get data from host. And the monitoring interval is 5 seconds. So now, these are the three faults we injected to the system. And so first, to stress the virtual disk of an application server VM, we generate an I/O intensive process. The second fault is we bloom down the available memory of the database VM. The third fault we inject is to add a CPU intensive virtual machine to contend with an application tier VM in the same host. And this is the timing diagram of the disk for the disk fault case. So the x-axis is the time and the y-axis is the response time. And we can see that when we injected the I/O intensive process, this is when the fault is injected, and this time is when the potential SLA violation is detected. This time is a true SLA violation detected. We can see that after we injected the faults, the response time is suddenly become very high. So this slide shows the results of metric pre-selection. So the left figure is the loss regression on the original input metric, and the right figure is the loss results of the pre-selected metric. And first we can see that the metric pre-selection can reduce the input metric by about one-third, from 54 to 32. And second, in the right figure, there are some pair of metrics whose coefficients grows rapidly on the opposite direction. This is because these are highly correlated metric, makes the model coefficients unstable. and sensitive to small data changes. In contrast, the regression results in the right figure don't have this property. So after we have the pre-selected metric, DAPL will cluster the models and using the data sample belong to the violation cluster to find the metric related to the SOA violation. So this table shows the results for each injected fault. For example, in the first row, we can see that the top three selected metric are CPU, I/O weight, and number of block write to the disk and the context switch. So the system administrator can first look at the I/O weight and determine that the problem could be caused by a disk intensive process. And for the second row, it shows the results of a memory fault, and we can see that all the three metrics are related to memory. SO standing for swap out, and SI swap in, and the same for the CPU case. So here is the conclusion. In this work, we have presented DAPL and to do performance diagnosis for virtualized infrastructure, and in our initial experiment, we deploy in a multi-tier application, and DAPL can localize several bottlenecks causing the SOA violation. So in the future work, we are trying to add in more. We are trying to incorporate more internal knowledge from various system layers, such as guest level, host level. This is somehow a gray box approach. And with this information, we could further differentiate the root cause between misconfiguration of VM or interference between VMs. And we also plan to combine some global knowledge, such as network topology. And we believe that this global knowledge could help us to find the causal relationship between VMs instance of an application. So thank you.